Hello and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy. Oh, the recording is in progress. I've got a podcast guest for your listening ears today. Bron Wendell. How often do people get your name wrong?
Well, pretty often, yeah. The gel comes out.
Gel.
Yeah, hell even. been in other countries where they don't have a G, so it comes out silent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. So Bronwyn is an occupational therapist by trade and the director of Driven by You Occupational Therapy by Passion. Welcome.
Thanks. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Well, your story's cool. Your story's really good and it's just different like everybody else's business story is. So you kind of did the OT thing. But you were also doing this baseball thing. And you never told me about this. I discovered this kind of just snooping around on your website one day.
So, I play baseball, play for Australia. I've been in the Australian team since I was 16. So, over a decade now. Yeah.
You still in the team?
Yeah, well, we haven't travelled for a few years because of this COVID thing happening, so haven't been able to travel overseas. So, still playing around Australia at the moment.
Wow! So, why baseball?
Yeah, I know I get that question a lot. Why baseball and why not softball? But Dad grew up playing baseball. Then my brother played, and they're both my biggest role models in life. So I wanted to do what they were doing. And just loved it. I loved the freedom of the sport. I loved running around and all the friendships I made.
I loved it at school. I played it at school. And I even got whacked in the head and needed surgery on my nose as an adult to kind of fix that. Turns out I couldn't breathe because I couldn't catch the bloody baseball.
We do hear about those stories.
Not fun. So what was it about baseball and OT, like, do you reckon there's sort of stuff going on there that kind of line up?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I've played at the high level since I was in high school, so I had to be pretty disciplined. Doing VCE, traveling around the world, getting my gym workouts, getting training sessions in, as well as studying. And I thought, going into uni, the same thing happened. So when I started working, same kind of skills had to apply into my, weekends and weekly routines. So I've definitely learned a lot of skills through baseball that I've then applied into my professional life as well. Yeah, and then running a business as well, using those skills across the two.
So in the early years of your OT life, you kind of were employed, and then there was this moment where you had this bright idea about starting your own business. What was that moment about?
Yeah, well, I was quite lucky, actually. I was 16, doing work experience when I knew that occupational therapy is what I wanted to do. My dad had an accident when he was a teenager, and I remember him talking about occupational therapists, and I didn't really know what they did, about. And I just remember the way he spoke about them in his voice, and I thought to myself that I'd love to make a difference in someone's life like that, like that person or that those occupational therapists did. So I went out and I figured out how to get work experience and the pathway that I needed to do to make that my career. So by the time I came to uni, I had it all panned out in my head, and I've really always liked, you know, event management and organization. And I knew in uni that I also wanted to start a business.
Did you really?
I did. I had a 5-year plan in my mind. But then, yeah, when I started working for people and trying to absorb as much information and everything I could, I loved it. I loved all the experiences I had. But, yeah, because of baseball, I had to take a lot of time off work. I really struggled with the 9-to-5, 9-to-5-hour day and Monday to Friday getting to trainings. I live in, you know, regional Victoria, so travel on top of that. It was hard. So it kind of came earlier than my 5-year plan. I started the business. I kind of went down to part-time work and then just did sole trader for a little bit. And it grew a lot faster than I was expecting. So,
yeah. So what were the biggest motivations for starting your own business?
I think the biggest ones, yeah, was that work-life balance that I preach. And I love a life of adventure. So that allowed me to do that and, yeah, live the life that I wanted to live. But I think also I'm really passionate about creating an environment and a workplace that align with my values and morals and that people want to come and work for. We spend a lot of time at work. So, you know, I know I am really passionate about occupational therapy and making a difference to my clients, but I'm also really passionate about making a difference to the staff that work for me as well. So, you know, that really excites me and, yeah, makes me passionate about running a business as well.
So there was a phase, and I had this same phase about you kind of got a couple of days paid employment and you're spending a lot of time in your car. Is that what it was?
Yeah. I was part-time working for someone a couple of days a week. It started off I was just doing my own one day a week and then dropped another day and was doing 2 days.
Like the seesaw just kind of happened, doesn't it?
That's it. And then word of mouth happened. Things just fell into place, really. I didn't push anything. I let it kind of all happen really naturally. And then, word of mouth spread. I was getting all these referrals. And, I just had to make the leap and I had to decide, that it was either all in or, it was getting too hard to balance the both.
Yeah. And I think you just get tired of being two different people in two different places. You're kind of running your own show and then the paid work becomes the side hustle. And how do you show up there when you've got something wildly more exciting that you want to think about? And you've got to tear your head in two.
Yeah, that's it. And, I couldn't wait a week to respond to an email or something either. So I was then ended up doing it outside of hours or my lunch breaks. I'd be, responding to emails or following up calls in relation to the business. And that just wasn't really fair for who I was employed for as well.
Yeah. So I took the plunge.
Yeah.
Full-time business. Yep. We should let people know that you live and work in a gorgeous part of the country. Paint the picture for us because the autumn leaves must be starting to look good.
It is, and I just noticed that yesterday when I was walking the dogs. It's the trees are beautiful and the colors are amazing at the moment. So I live out in Bacchus Marsh, and that's where the clinic is. Just out of Melbourne, towards Ballarat. We've got this avenue when you drive in, and it's just beautiful. There's lots of signs. We call ourselves the fruit bowl of Victoria. The hikes and the mountains. It's really, really lovely. I love it out here.
And if you stand on a very tall hill, you can kind of see the fuzz of Melbourne and couple of tall buildings and the
I'm very lucky. I live on the cliff edge of the Werribee Gorge. River comes down at the bottom of my cliff, and I've got I can see one direction is the Werribee Gorge, and then I see the Lutterdurg, and then the Brisbane Ranges are behind me, and then I can see Melbourne. Yeah,
got it.
Beautiful.
Oh, quite the lifestyle, quite the lifestyle, quite the
lovely
lifestyle. So what were the early days of being self-employed like?
Yeah, it was good. It was very flexible, and I look back at it and I probably could have worked a lot harder, but I really enjoyed the lifestyle of, being able to travel and work at my pace and do my sporting achievements as well. But it did get lonely. It was lonely being a sole trader, living out of my car, not being able to bounce ideas off colleagues. Motivated me to want to grow my team.
So how many years ago was this when you went out full time on your own?
It would be 2.5 years ago.
Okay, I was going to go 3. Wow.
Probably 3. I'm not very good with COVID years.
Yeah, COVID years, they count. They're like dog years. They're 7 each.
I reckon it's probably been 3, maybe even over 3 now. Yeah.
And so what's happened? What have you done business-wise in the last couple of years?
Yeah, so I was sole trader and just, working out of my car, and at that point I didn't really even establish an area that I was even living in. I was renting and moving around a little bit, and I was really quite fortunate that my sister-in-law is a Google ad expert, so I get her to set up my Google ad wherever I was living, and I wasn't doing any like kind of long-term projects or anything. It was just getting a feel of what I enjoyed, what I wanted to specialize in, what I wanted to do. And then because of family reasons, I moved back home to where I grew up and where my parents are, and set up my Google ad location there and
dropped the pin.
Yeah. And it blew up. Word of mouth happened. Got really good networks with some support coordinators, and I think at that point, I knew that that's where I wanted to work and the area I wanted to. So from there, I got a contractor to take over my other clients, because I was on the other side of Melbourne at that time. So, and she still works for me when I've still got those clients. So that's really, really cool. I love watching them grow. And then just luckily enough, I had a friend from uni reach out to me, and they wanted to also move into a different area of occupational therapy, and they wanted to work for me. So that kind of just fell into my lap as well, and I was so fortunate. So I wanted to make that happen. And at that point, we were still mobile, but I realized it was really important to have a headquarters, somewhere for us to meet and be able to share resources, share knowledge, and also retain her as well. So we moved into a clinic only last year in October. So we've been there since, and it just keeps growing. We've brought on some allied health assistants, and then just last month we've now got a full-time administrator as well. So team of six. So I've got 2 allied health assistants. We've got 3 OTs, including myself, and a full-time admin. Oh, I should say team of 7, because we've also got a therapy dog, Willow.
I was just waiting for you to add Willow in.
Yeah, she's
so
amazing.
So those principles of baseball / teamwork, how have they guided you lead a team of 6?
Yeah, I think I've done a lot of coaching as well in baseball, and I've had a lot of great coaches as well as role models through my experience at baseball. And I think that's really, really helped me work in that team environment and lead a team as well, because as much as baseball is a team sport, it's full of individuals. So working out every individual, what motivates them and what encourages them in baseball is the same as running a business. You got to know what inspires an individual to reach their full potential as well. So I've really tried to focus on that when I'm running a business.
And what are you learning?
Lots. I'm learning that, it is a big challenge. Trying to find that balance is the biggest thing, I think, in terms of work-life balance and, developing those kind of relationships as well at work. I want to give everybody everything they want, but, finding that balance to be sustainable as well. Mm. Yeah.
Gather around, dear listeners, for a moment of sheer audio delight. You may have heard, but we love to chat with Allied Health business owners. We get inspired hearing about your aspirations, the challenges you face, the roadblocks that get in your way, and business realities. So we invite you to book a free power call with a Naker Consulting business specialist, regardless of where you're at in business. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed or overworked or overjoyed. We're here for you, and we'll meet you exactly where you are, judgment-free. It's okay to book a second or even a third call. We're always keen to hear all your news. Book a free power call with us today at naker.com.au/free-power-call. Let's get the convo ball rolling. Now it's time to get back to our regularly scheduled banter.
Hey, it's Natalie, Naker Consulting's team member, jumping in here quickly to talk about one of our core brand values, connection. That is why we have set up two really easy ways for you to connect with us on another level or find like-minded allied health business owners just like yourself. Join us and our growing community over at the Private Practice Made Perfect Facebook group. This is a vibrant and helpful community that shares some absolute gems to growing your business. Another way is by signing up to our love letter. Only we could get away with naming a business newsletter a love letter. So get on in and sign up there so that you don't miss out on any of our events, freebies, new offers, and helpful industry insights that will keep you ahead of the game. Alrighty, let's dive back into the conversation.
Your commitment to work-life balance is so impressive. How do you bring that commitment through to the team as well? Like, how do they lead themselves and manage their work within their lifestyles? How does that all work?
Yeah, I think, it's something we are working on. And last Friday we went out to the Werribee Gorge and we did a hike and had lunch. So doing some of those kind of days helps. And I think also I like to, lead by example that I'm not there at ridiculous time in the morning and leaving it when it's dark and working really long hours. I'm trying to, by leading by example, I'm showing them that I can manage my workload whilst also achieving all of these things outside of work, and that I really want to support them to achieve what they want to achieve outside of work as well as inside of work. I'm very lucky as well with the team that I've got. They like to work pretty autonomously, so giving them that freedom and just letting them know if they're not reaching any KPIs or what they need to do to reach next week's KPIs. It's a balance, and I'm still improving.
Yeah. What do you and your team do really well at the moment?
Really well. I think probably communication. I think we're very, very open and very flexible. So I think in terms of if someone is communicating that they need something or they want something, that they're being heard, and that's not just me listening. I think our admin and my staff as well, if I'm needing something, everyone's very open to feedback and open to expressing what they need, because we can't fix it unless we know as well. So it's a very, very good environment, I think, and we enjoy having fun. We have shared lunches, and we've got a wellness program. We take a high priority on mental health as well. So, I think we all really care.
Yeah. What got you through COVID? Are you Metro Melbourne?
I'm in regional.
But some of your clients and, you're on the edge.
My clients were in Metro.
Yeah. What got you through the last couple of years?
Well, for most of it, I was actually a sole trader and mobile. I was a mobile service. So, it was a challenge because, I was in regional but most of my clients were in Metro, and then it just kept changing, and it was, so being fluid and just being flexible and just going with the flow of things and just brainstorming other ways to make an income, and make it work, and telehealth and all these different ideas, sent out little packages to our clients that they could do at home, and being supportive of the families. It was tough, but we got through it, and it gave us a lot of opportunities to work on our procedures and our policies and our system. So when we came back, we're ready to go, and we could straight into the swing of things, which we took the opportunity as a positive.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your approach to opportunities.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
I've got a bit of a mindset about, when opportunities come, just to take it, because you never know when you're going to get another opportunity like you do, and looking at the positives. I think it's gotten me into some pretty crazy adventures, but...
Oh, I really want to hear about them now.
They're mainly from my brother. He's pretty adventurous, so every time he's offered me an opportunity, I'm always taking it, and any job opportunities, I tend to take it. And like I mentioned before, I didn't really force my business. I did have a goal, and I envisioned where I wanted to be in life, but I never really forced any of it, and I've been fortunate enough to have opportunities come up as well. So, and I've utilized the people that I've got in my network as well. If someone wants to offer to do something or anything, I've always just seemed to work out for the best, and everything happens for a reason as well.
Yeah, it's that lovely open energy of being available and curious and ready to kind of step towards whatever comes your way that feels really good at the time.
Yeah.
In the busyness of business, it can be so easy to sort of say, no, I don't have time for that, and you can miss out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Speaking of missing out, that is probably something Willow has never experienced in her life. What was the thinking with Willow and training her as a therapy dog?
Yeah, so she was another probably example of an opportunity and making it for the best. I grew up with dogs. I'm a dog person, so just the fact that I can take my dog to work is awesome. But when I was looking for a dog, it was 2 years ago, so it was COVID time, and at that time everyone was home and everyone wanted a dog, and it was almost impossible to get a dog. And it was just through a friend that I knew at Vision Australia. She trains dogs, seeing eye dogs, and she said that up in Queensland there was a litter of dogs that were meant to go overseas and work in a hospital, and they need to be rehomed, but they don't sell to the public. Maybe just contact them, let them know what you want. So I got Willow from Career Dogs Australia up in Brisbane. So she flew down, and her nature is just incredible. She's so beautiful, and she's just bred to be exactly what she does, and she loves it. And I am so, so lucky to have her for myself, but also for the business. Yeah.
And a quick run through on the training and where she's up to.
Yeah. So she's still technically in training because we haven't done our certificate just because of COVID and everything, but she's ready to go, and she's got her little her vest on in training, which kids respond so well to as well. They always ask before they can pat her and everything. But she's very, very well trained. Everyone is so shocked by her, her nature. She acts like she's an old lady, but she just turned 2 years old. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So she comes into schools with me and into kindergartens and into people's homes. Yeah. She's beautiful.
Have you ever had any problems getting her through the door?
Not being allowed to come in?
Yeah.
At schools and that, no, I've always asked. I always ask beforehand. Or I just mention that I've got her and they will say, oh, bring her in next time. They love it. All the schools love it. Sometimes even if Willow doesn't work with a particular student, they still want her to come in, and sometimes they, steal her off me and take her around to the other classrooms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but no, I haven't had an issue. No, no.
That's good. One of the favourite schools that I worked at had a couple of old lazy Labradors, and it was kind of a farmish based sort of school.
Yeah.
And there were chooks around in the playground. And, you know, one day I just turned to kind of change direction and just about face planted over this dozing Labrador with her legs in the air, absolutely gorgeous. And kids just lounged all over, and this dog just, I don't know, you know, must have been a whiz at grade 3 maths by that point. She just was been in the room forever, and it was just so normal and natural. Like, why wouldn't there be a old lab, you know, curled up on the corner of the mat most of the day?
Yeah, the kids love it. Yeah, they get disappointed. Willow was actually sick a couple of weeks ago, and they were really disappointed when I turned up without her. So that was nice, but also a little bit sad that they weren't excited to see me.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, I'm here too. Hello, hello, people. So we're recording this at the start of 2022, and certainly in Melbourne we've had the Grand Prix and we've got the comedy festival and the footy's back on. Like, it's feeling more our next flavour of normal than ever before. What have you got in store for the business this year, or for you and the business this year?
Yeah, so, tomorrow I head off. I fly out to Adelaide. I've got my baseball nationals starting, so that's over Easter. And then we have a student starting later this year, which I'm super excited about, running a student program. And then hopefully I'd like to, continue to grow. I've got a couple of allied health assistants, which I have utilized because I've found it really, really hard to recruit occupational therapist or speech therapist. So we're utilizing the allied health assistance a bit more to just get some others off the wait list and keep the wait list moving as well. And I've seen, since we've done that, I've really seen the value of allied health assistance. So I'm definitely going to grow in that area and utilize them really, really well. That's my goal this year. And that's, what we're moving towards. I actually don't have enough allied health assistant at the moment, which is exciting, because a year ago, we weren't really utilising them.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're, a lot of the businesses we work with and support are kind of, getting the hang of this AHA piece. And it's so exciting, because it's such a really cool career for people to have. You know, some AHAs are undergrads for, allied health professional courses, but others are actually getting the training and seeing this as a career move as an assistant AHA forever. And NDIS is opening those doors pretty rapidly.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We've got our allied health assistants, one of them studying physiotherapy, so that brings another value to the business as well. And the other one is a nurse, so they've got the health background, all their learning, and it's really exciting thinking about the opportunities to come as well for the business.
Yeah, Yep. So growing out kind of team a little bit, do you envisage getting back on a plane with your passport and your baseball?
Yeah, that would be really, really exciting. I hope so. I forget what it's like to get on a plane and be on a plane for that long. And yeah, there's no international trips this year planned. The World Cups have moved to every 4 years instead of every 2 years. So hopefully next year though.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what do you want the business to kind of be looking like, you know, in the next 12 months? We're building team, but what about your role in the business? What do you want that to look like?
Yeah, well, I love working with my clients. I do really, really love it. But I would like to move more from a clinician to more of like a CEO position, and which would give me more time to work with my staff and really oversee that and make sure that they're happy and that everything's in place. I got all these awesome ideas about, all these fun things to do in the business, because that's what I really am passionate about. But I just don't have time because I'm, yeah, so working so hard with my clients and achieving their goals. So, yeah, I'd love to move away from.
I really want to know how you're going to do that. We've all wrangled with this. Everyone finds this.
Yeah.
An opportunity in your language.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, it's a really good start already. We employed an administrator full time. She started in March last month. So, and March was already the best month we've had in history of
ever.
The business.
Yep. So far. Yay.
Yeah.
Kudos to you.
Yeah. So that was amazing. And I do put that down to letting go of some roles. So being able to spend more time doing other things and working with my clients. So that was a step in the right direction there. And then I think, yeah, if I can't employ another OT or, you know, I'm doing a recruitment campaign at the moment, but, yeah, utilising the allied health assistance and making the best of the opportunities that we do have. So we've got some really, really great allied health assistants. And also, yeah, I know that there is a market for that as well. And especially with employment opportunities. So that, yeah, we're already talking to people about taking that next step. So I think, yeah, just growing that and also looking at doing some groups and just different ways of the business running other than, yeah, just those one-on-one OTs that we've appointments that we've always done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And I guess with some extra admin customer service support, some of the systems and the kind of admin-y things can come off your plate even more than before.
Definitely, definitely. I felt like I was playing a lot of Tetris with my appointments and trying to be so flexible with all my clients and with COVID happening and then extra curriculum activities coming back. We're trying to move things around so kids don't miss too much school and get all their other things. But having an admin person do that, that's their job. And they can focus on that and I don't have to spend so much time. I was spending too much time on the admin and even invoicing and receipting, and I can utilize admin for that as well.
Yeah. How well do you delegate?
Well, I'm getting better. you'd know that I've worked with you, Kathy, for how long now? About 12 months?
Yeah.
And yeah, that was always my struggle, and I always said that I wasn't very good at delegating. And I think the way I like things to be done is the way I've done them for so long. It was really hard to delegate, but I'm actually getting really good at that because I'm seeing the benefits of delegating.
What are the benefits?
More time. I've got more time to do other things as well. So that's massive, having more time, and I sleep better now. go to bed without a massive list of to-do things things don't get forgotten. And yeah, having extra people being on top of things really, really makes a difference.
I was talking with one of my teammates the other day about delegating, and where the conversation went was there are other ways to be right. Like my version of how I want it done isn't the only way that the jolly task can get done.
Yeah.
And sometimes you've got to release those expectations, hold a standard.
Yeah.
But release the expectations that the only way to be right or to get it done is your way.
Definitely. Yeah.
Has that been your experience? Tell me I'm not alone.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone there. Not alone there. And I think the challenge was previously to having the full-time admin, I did have admin for a couple of days, so it was just casual, and which was great. It freed up some time, but because on the other days I would then be picking it up, that it was, challenging to know if someone was doing it a different way to I was doing it, that it sometimes did get a little bit confusing or messy, or I'll try and, so having that full-time and actually delegating and not going back to it, and having that someone responsible for something, and that is now it's out of sight, kind of out of mind as well.
So there's going to be lots of development of systems in your future, methinks.
Yes, definitely.
Systemizing like crazy so that you can kind of release clients, release admin, and kind of step up very elegantly into more of a director kind of future CEO role.
Which I'm very excited about. Those the steps towards that still aren't super clear, but I'm very lucky to have you, Kathy, to support me through all of that and through everything that we've already been through. But where I envision it to be, I'm very, very excited about.
What has the business taught you so far?
Well, so many things. The business taught me so far. Well, I would probably say it's probably taught me to, let go of some of my expectations and, that, we deal with lots of individuals and everybody's values and morals are their values and morals, and nobody's is right or wrong. So, I love learning about different people and different personalities. And I think, I think that's kind of allowed me to, let go of my expectations and how I view the world has kind of opened me up to so much more. And I've been so excited and learning so much.
I still remember, and I'm sure you do, of the great bookkeeper Detangle.
Yeah.
We had to get those files kind of sorted, and this happens all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. So that was a good learning, I reckon, last year.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, yeah. Just about having all of those things in place has helped a lot.
Yeah, good crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you learn a lot about yourself when you're running a business. You kind of find out where your edges are. You find out your preferences. You get really clear on what you want to avoid.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's still things that you have to kind of go towards. And that learning can be steep but really, really, really valuable. What would you want business owners to know, those that are sitting in as solopreneurs but sort of know that they quietly want more, what would you say want them to think about?
Probably that you're not going to get it right straight away. And the only way that you will get to where you want to be is trial and error. So, and don't be scared to make mistakes, because that's making mistakes is how we learn. And I think, with all the opportunities that get thrown to me, even if it wasn't the greatest opportunity to take, I always learned from it as well. So not to be scared of failure, because as you like to call them, flirnings. I love flirnings.
Yeah, big fan of flirnings.
Yeah.
Explain what they are.
So flirning, so it's I guess a failure that you've learnt from. So something that didn't go right, something that you didn't plan, and you might have made a mistake or something, but you've learnt from it, and at the end of the day, you've learnt from it, so you're better than you were yesterday.
Mm. Fear is such an interesting one. It can just paralyze people, understandably. But I guess you've faced fear on the baseball pitch. You've faced fear in your business. Is it something that you're comfy with and kind of know how to work through?
Yes and no. I do get quite anxious, and I think the baseball field brings out a lot of anxiety for me. I get put a lot of pressure on myself. I've got very high expectations of myself, and I have since a young age. So I think I probably don't know any different than to put pressure on myself. So when I'm at work, I've got a high expectation of myself, and I don't like to fail, and I don't like to make mistakes. But I am learning to be a lot more comfortable with it, because mistakes are going to happen. It's inevitable, and that's how we learn, and that's how we keep moving and keep progressing forward.
Yeah. I'm thinking of that Japanese proverb, and I so hope I get it right. You probably know it. It's that one of, I think, fall down seven times, get up eight.
Yeah. That's
Someone will correct that perhaps in the show notes, but I think that's it, that it's you do stumble and you do lose your footing and you lose your bearings, but part of this piece of resilience is to be able to get up and just put the next foot in front of the other.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we talk about it a lot in baseball, because they say that in baseball you've got less than 3 seconds to deal and respond when you make an error, that you can't dwell on it and you can't keep going, because it's going to continue to affect your game. If I make one error and I stay down about it, I'm just going to keep making more errors. So they say, you've got 3 seconds to deal with it and make the next play. So I think that's pretty similar about running a business as well.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
It's really similar. It really is similar. Yet maybe in our business lives, we will lose sleep. So we're obviously spending more than 3 seconds kind of processing that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, loved getting your story on the record. Love that you're a little fearful about stepping into this, but excited as well. And your story's really, really cool. You know, the professional, well, not professional, but the baseball piece and business, and now a really clear and sunny 2022. So much good stuff ahead, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was very nervous about this podcast, but I was, super, super excited about it. And I do have a particular coach, because I do get anxious at baseball, and she always said to me, she goes, if you're nervous, it means you care. So I think whenever you're nervous, probably means you're pretty passionate and you care about what you're doing. So it's probably a good sign.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing up the adventure to date. And good luck over the Easter weekend with the Nationals.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Kathy.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.